Out of Mark's gospel today, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37, we have a great word from the Lord. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." May the Lord add richly to the reading of His Word.
We're going to sing, "Rise Up, O Men of God," if you use your hymnal. It's number 461, and as you can see, the words are on the screen. I will invite you to rise as we sing this hymn. You may be seated.
Bobby, could you take us back two slides to the second to last verse? Perfect. "The church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great." We're in the midst of a series of what it means to be a church member. My beautiful daughter reminded me today, says, "Dad, you're not talking to everybody that's a member at Philippi Baptist." And I said, "You're absolutely right. And this is not just for members of Philippi Baptist Church. It's for those that are connected to the body of Christ." And I said, "We're using the word member in a different way. This is not membership to a country club. This is not membership to the YMCA, which would work out much better for me because, okay, you math people out there, I'm paying $6 a trip to go play racquetball. I go at least twice a week, and the monthly fee is $28 a week. Craig Cobb will have this figured out before the sermon is over. I'm not talking about that kind of membership. I'm talking about being a member of the body of Christ. As Tyshawn is the big toe, and Maddie Spencer, who I called Chelsea Weed when she walked in the building today, is the armpit. No, she's not the armpit. But I mean, we're each a part of the body of Christ. That's the kind of member we're talking about today. And it is only as we find our strength together that we see how the church is truly great. Thank you, Bobby. We are going to take some moments this morning. I'm always tempted to use illustrations from my children. I'll forego those temptations today and go back just a few more years as I sit in the living room with my sister. I'm about 8 years old. She would be a budding teenager at about 13, almost 13. and we've just finished a wonderful dinner. It's my turn to do the dishes. And I think of every excuse in the book why I shouldn't have to be in the kitchen. And so I go to my mom and I plead my case, and my mom's just not buying it. She's not listening to it, and so then my sister says, just go do it. So then I have another three explanations on why I'm not going to go do that. She finally just says, oh, I'll go do them so you be quiet. Now that's a horrible example, and I'm really glad my daughter had already left before I gave you that example. And there would be all kinds of issues that I would be the cause of because I was only thinking about me. And my sister, as great a heart as she had, she'd rather just have peace than hear any more quabbling. So what did I do? I took advantage of that. I thought that was a pretty good deal. And it really showed this idea of how I can be very selfish on my own. And I would love to say that those kind of tendencies in my life and in your life ended when we put away childhood. But unfortunately, it so much continues to be a part of who we are. What we'd like to look at today is, can we wrap our minds around this idea that I will not let my church be about my preferences and my desires? The strange thing about church membership is that you actually give up your preferences when you join. There are many things in our church that we come and we participate in because we like it and that it fits where we are. But we are more than just a group of people whose needs are met. We are here to be in service to the Lord and to others. We are here to give. We are here to sacrifice. Jesus would often say things that confronted his listeners. Even his disciples had a tendency to fight with one another. And on occasion, the 12 were arguing about who was the greatest. Can you imagine in all the conversations you would have with Jesus himself that you would spend time arguing about who was the greatest? The closest followers of Jesus were having a me-first fight. The Bible continues to remind us that Jesus stopped and he sat down and he called these grown-ups together. And he says this, sitting down, he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Wouldn't it have been great to have been a fly on one of the cloaks of those guys and to see the impression? Disciples, you've just been served. You've just been put in a place that we all need to be put. This text is not just for those disciples. It's for me. It's for you. As a church member, our motivation should not be to get our preferences to the top of the list. I'm supposed to be last and not first. I'm supposed to be a servant instead of seeking to be served. So let's take some time to look at three things that may get us to this notion a little bit deeper. The first is this idea of the servant motif. The servant motif, or the picture of what it means to be a servant. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament. Sometime it refers to a person who has an official role, such as a household servant, but many times it refers to the role we have and assume as Christians. The word serve also occurs at least 58 times in the New Testament. Do you see this picture that emerges out of God's Word? Serving is important. Jesus said, we must be last of all and servant of all. It doesn't sound like all the church members we may have been in experience with or that we have practiced from time to time. Many church members demand their preferences, their desires, the way they've always done it. But Jesus said we are to serve. Paul said it as well after he became a Christian. The apostle declared in Ephesians, he says, I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. We'll never find joy in church membership when we are constantly seeking things our way. And paradoxically, we will find the greatest joy when we choose to be last. That's what Jesus meant when he said, the last will be first. True joy means giving up our rights and preferences and serving everyone else. That's what church membership means as well. So along with this servant motif that is called for out of God's Word, let's also picture a survey that said a lot about this. This is a survey that said a lot. And in Dr. Tom Rainer's research, he did a survey of churches that were inwardly focused. They were not serving past their own walls, their own members. In other words, these churches were largely self-serving. In the survey, they found 10 dominant behavior patterns of members in these churches. And let's see if you've ever recognized these in any church that you've ever been in. And I'm talking, of course, 30 or more years ago, certainly not today. Worship wars. One or more factions in the church want the music just the way they like it. Any deviation is met with anger and demands for change. The order of service must remain constant. Certain instrumentation is required while others are prohibited. The survey also showed prolonged minutiae meetings. The church spent an inordinate amount of time in different meetings, most of the meetings dealing with the most inconsequential items, while the Great Commission and the Great Commandment are rarely the topics of conversation. They also found that there was a facility focus. The church facilities develop iconic status. One of the highest priorities in the church is the protection and preservation of the rooms, furniture, and other visible parts of the church buildings and grounds. They also continued to be program-driven. Every church has programs, even if they don't admit it. When we start doing a ministry a certain way, it takes on a programmatic status. The problem is not with programs. The problem develops when the program becomes an end instead of means to greater ministry. Number five, they were inwardly focused on the budget. A disproportionate share of the budget is used to meet the needs and comforts of the members instead of reaching beyond the walls of the church. Inordinate demands for pastoral care. All church members deserve care and concern, especially in times of need and crisis. Problems develop, however, when church members have unreasonable expectations for even minor matters. Some members continue to monopolize those of the pastoral staff and visit them regularly merely because they have membership status. The list continues with attitudes of entitlement greater concern about change than the gospel, anger and hostility. And then the final point he said in the survey they found was evangelistic apathy. Very few members share their faith on a regular basis. More are concerned about their own needs rather than the greatest eternal needs of the world and community which they live. In almost every behavior above, church members were looking out for their own needs and preferences. It is a picture that is encapsulated in I, me, myself. Church membership, from a biblical perspective, is about servanthood. It's about giving. It's about putting others first. So where do we go from this servant motif, or to take this particular survey and to sort of process that? I pray that it will lead us even to the mind of Christ. One of the best descriptions of the attitude we should embody was written by Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. The apostle says very clearly and powerfully, make your attitude that of Christ Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. He also emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave. The Apostle Paul goes on to say he humbled himself. And then lastly, he finishes up there, he became obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Keep in mind that Philippians 2 is not only a description of the obedience of Christ, it is an example for us to follow. We are to be servants. We are to be obedient. We are to put others first. We are to do whatever it takes to keep the unity in our church. So we approach church membership from the perspective of entitlement. We have it upside down. It should be the other way around. It is not a membership of an entitlement mentality. We should always ask first what we can do for God's church. Then we'll have discovered the joy that will last. Typically, it's easier to sign a commitment on paper than it is to practice the commitment in reality. You need a fair warning before you take the third step, which Sarah Ellen and whoever else, Miss Jennifer Wyant, will so graciously hand out to us today. You need to have a fair warning before you take this third step, remembering that our first two was that we would be a functioning member, and that we would be a participating member in the body of Christ. But this third step, it won't be long after making this commitment that you will come across a fellow church member whose attitude is, well, how should we say this? Nothing at all like that of Christ. He or she will tell you what's wrong with the music or the preaching or the pastor, you name it. It will be tempting to chew him or her out, to tell him or her to go him or her lousy way and to get it figured out. And while a gentle rebuke may be in order, you need to remember something about the commitment we're signing up for today. This cantankerous and ornery church member is one of those you have pledged to serve. It is not an us and them mentality. All God's children are climbing the mountain together. And that none of us have arrived to point back and say, ah, I got there before you did. We all realize the importance of service to all those that we are privileged to call brothers and sisters in Christ. The point is that these commitments are not easy. In fact, without God's power, they may prove impossible. So pray for His strength and His wisdom. And when you think you've had it, making sacrifices for others, remember the cross. As you are overwhelmed by Jesus' undeserved love for you that caused Him to sacrifice everything, including His preferences, you will be able to do the same for others. So here's our pledge today. I am a church member. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. That is self-serving. I'm a member in this church to serve others and to serve Christ. My Savior went to a cross for me. I can deal with any inconveniences and matters that just aren't my preference or style. You do not turn this in. This is something that you speak to on your own accord. And on the back of the pledge are some opportunities this week. Monday through Friday, take a question a day. Have an opportunity for us to continue to understand this connection we have to Christ and the glory we have in being in His church together. He has called us to be church members. We can do far more together than we can apart. And we do that for His glory, His joy, His benefit as we go out in Jesus' name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Almighty God, we are so thankful that You have called us to be a part of Your church, to realize that we have the greatest opportunity in the world to serve You. And Lord, I confess there have been many times when I thought my agenda was the best agenda, and that what I thought was exactly what should happen no matter what. And Lord, I thank You so many times that You have spoken into my life and You've let other voices give me direction, give me an understanding of where they are coming from, so that we then can worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, may it be that we continue in that ministry for You to go forward in Your name. In Your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.